My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back in hour number two. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. They'll be rocking with you until four right here on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Excellent.
Hell yeah. The Kings played last night. They lost to the Miami Heat. That was one of two games that happened in the Western Conference last night. The only other one was Memphis at Brooklyn, and Brooklyn smoked the Grizzlies by 25, 111-86. So one of the things we're going to be doing through the rest of this regular season, and you might get tired of it, but that's just kind of where this is at, because look, we talk about the Kings long term, and okay, they need a player with this mentality, or they need a player with this, and they need to draft this or trade whatever. We can deal with that when we get to it. We've talked about, you've talked about, James, the consequences if the Kings miss the playoffs this year. That changes the long term outlook significantly in the wrong direction. So we're going to do some scoreboard watching throughout the rest of this regular season, because the Kings, after last night's loss, they now sit in the number 7 seed. They fell behind the Pelicans and the Suns, who they were tied with. They're a half game back of the Suns for the 6 seed, the Pelicans for the 5 seed. They are tied with the Mavericks, who are the 8 seed. And they're 3 games up on the Lakers for the 9, 3.5 up on the Warriors for the 10. If, quick refresher, play-in is the 7-8. And then the 9-10, winner of 7-8 is the 7 seed. Loser of that game plays the winner of 9-10 for the 8 seed.
That's right.
So you want to be a top 6 seed to avoid that play-in. The Kings are half a game back of that right now.
Yep.
The good news is the teams directly ahead of them and the Mavs directly behind them have some tough games tonight. So we're going to keep a like half an eye on the Warriors, just because the more they lose and the more distance the Kings can get from the 10 seed, the better. The Warriors are at the Wizards tonight. Don't love the Kings to gain ground on the Warriors. The Wizards stink.
Oh, the Wizards are bad.
They benched Jordan Poole. Like, that's where the Wizards are at. So I don't love that. The Mavericks, though, big night for the Kings. The Mavericks play in Cleveland. Cleveland's good.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Cleveland's number 2 seed in the East right now.
Well, plus, they just have a lot to throw at players like Luka.
Yeah.
And Kyrie. They do. They have all kinds
of
different
size,
looks.
A lot of length.
Yeah. So, that's a good one.
Yeah, that'll be a good matchup. So you want to see the Mavs lose.
Yes.
That would put the Kings half a game clear of the 8 seed. And then the Pelicans are at the Knicks. Knicks, another team. They're the 4 seed in the East right now. They're 35-23. If the Pelicans lose, they would just fall to the 6. The Kings would stay at 7. Right? Is that right?
No, they're a half game. No, the Kings would move above them if they lose because they've got one more win.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So I see. So the Kings, mathematically, the Kings would slide above them.
To number six.
Yeah.
All right.
The Suns don't play tonight?
No.
Okay.
Big opportunity for the Kings.
Yeah.
To gain a half game.
To gain a half game. Hey. That's sometimes what it's about, right?
Let me make sure I'm not losing my mind here. This says there's no... Oh, these are games played. Got it. Okay, that's not the upcoming schedule.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, that's what's going on tonight in the West. Do these games... I said this yesterday, and then I watched them play Miami, and Miami was in the play-in last year, lost their first play-in game?
Something like that. They were the eighth seed.
They were the eighth seed.
Yeah.
So they get into the playoffs via the play-in,
mm-hmm.
and then they work their way to the finals. And then you watch them last night, and you're like, man, of course, like this team is just really, really tough. It's just it's NFL draft season. One of my favorite NFL draft terms that people use for like running backs is a rolling ball of butcher knives.
Oh.
Like they are just tough. And downhill and hard-nosed and hard to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just look difficult. That's how the Heat come across to me, just as a basketball team, as a unit, right? And I look and I go, man, last night was probably super valuable for Sacramento. Just playing in that type of game, you're on, I know the second night of a back-to-back, it's not like it was playoff atmosphere at Golden 1 or anything like that, but, like, that's a tough team that very clearly had a good game plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to learn how to adjust to that. And you're playing a team that has a ton of experience, particularly guys like Kevin Love, guys like Bam Adebayo have played in big games, have played in playoff games. And the Kings need every single win. We talk about, okay, what does this mean for how they're inconsistent and they're this and they're that, and what team are we going to get tonight? Like, they just need to stack wins. And they didn't get one last night, but... I look at the rest of the stretch and I'm like, man, these are all ostensibly playoff games.
Oh, I agree 100%.
And maybe I'm way overvaluing that, but to me, okay, they have one playoff series under their belt, but now they get a month and a half, 2 months of playoff games. Like that's, I mean, what are quote unquote playoff games? That's, I think could be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a value to playing difficult games. You know, I think that when you see a team, like, let's just say, like, the 49ers, they get to the Super Bowl, right? Their path to the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs' path to the Super Bowl was much easier, like, without any question. You know, you went through a couple of decent teams,
mm-hmm.
but not teams that had experience that were, like, expected to be there. And, like, you get to the Super Bowl and, like, your pathway there just wasn't that nearly as hard as it was for... Kansas City,
yes.
who had to play an extra
yes.
game,
right?
Who had to play on the road,
mm-hmm.
who had to play against some of the best, like, you know, again, Josh Allen had to go through
the
Lamar
MVP,
yeah.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, sorry. Yeah, that's the path, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're a little more battle-tested. You're a little bit more, like, you felt all of the high-end talent and, like, what it is it's going to take
yeah.
to win that game. And sometimes that matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for the Kings to go and play a team like Miami, I don't think it really, like, it's not like that style of play is going to rub off on the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden that they're going to be like, oh man, that's how we have to play. Because that's not who the Kings have as players.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a Caleb Martin. They don't have a Jaime Jaquez. They don't, mm-hmm. they don't have that physical type player. So they've got to figure out other ways to do it, other ways to be who they're going to be. And right now, I think we're still confused, but I don't know that we should be.
Yeah, and that's where, like, please don't take this way. I don't ever tell anyone how to be a fan.
Yeah.
Be a fan however you want to be a fan, but you I can't remember if you said this on air during a break. But you said, man, a lot of angry Kings fans. And I get it.
Yeah.
Like, that was last night, the way they fell apart and fell behind 20. It's like, man, if they were 20% better in that stretch, and they were only behind 15 going into the fourth quarter, they probably win.
Yeah.
They probably claw their way back and find a way to win that game. And so I get that it's frustrating, and I get that there were the great vibes last year, and it was all ascension last year, and now there's some peaks and valleys this year. And so it's understandably super frustrating. But also, we just know what the Kings are now. And it's going to be frustrating, and that's totally fine. But I think it's probably unrealistic to have some, and Damian's been saying this for months, it's unrealistic to have some higher expectation of this team that there's some massive leap that's going to happen when they ran it back with largely the same group. If the leap has not happened by now, it's not going to happen on February 26th. Like, they're just kind of, they are who they are this year.
I agree. That's
fine.
But that becomes a question of how do you balance this now? If this is who you are,
mm-hmm.
and then you understand where you need to get to in order to take more steps. Number one, you need a couple of different players, right? I think we can all honestly say that you can't run it back again. If you run it back again,
ooh.
That's a gross negligence.
Yeah.
It's like you just aren't up for the job.
That's unserious. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just not
I hate
ready
that phrase,
to do this.
But that's what that is.
I would agree with you. You're just not taking the task at hand and understanding what, like, sort of the goal is.
To be clear, I don't predict that happening.
Well, yeah, but we didn't predict that happening at the deadline either. So,
yeah, good point.
But just to complete the thought, sort of, like, we can see who they are, and the only way for them to have self-improvement at this point, like, they can get better for this season by guys getting hot or and figuring things. But the only way for this team to get truly better moving forward,
yes,
there's one singular path, and that is for Keegan Murray to ascend. And there comes a point in this season where you have to make that decision whether it's about winning today mm-hmm. and trying to get to the second round, or whether it's about getting Keegan Murray to the next step so you can be better than a second round team next year and the year after.
Yeah.
And right now you got, what, 26 games?
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be a lot more Keegan Murray 28-point nights and a lot fewer of some of these other guys taking 15, 16 shots.
And I do think part of that is on Keegan, and I think that's part of the growth, is learning when to pick your spots. Last night would have been a good night to pick a spot.
I agree, but I'm also going to say at some point, the coach has to have a say, and the coach, and it doesn't have to be that, hey, let's run seven straight plays for Keegan. It can be to go to Domantas Sabonis, and it can mm-hmm. be to go to Keegan Murray and to De'Aaron Fox and say, this is the plan. Mm-hmm. We need you to execute it. Mm-hmm. The goal is to get him up to speed for next season.
Yeah.
And that's what has to happen. We understand who we are today. We are not a championship contender. We need to figure out how to get to that next step. That next step is through that kid.
Yep.
And we need you guys on board to get him there so we can all succeed together.
Yeah, that next step for Keegan and the Kings, and maybe this is why there's such a parallel, is consistency. Right now, the Kings are frustrating because they can go beat any team in the NBA on any night right now. They're good enough to do that. But they are also not good enough that they could lose to any team in the NBA on any given night. And there's a lot of teams like that where they're just kind of hanging out in the middle. Getting to that next tier of team where they're consistently good night in and night out, I think that you know for the most part what you're getting from De'Aaron Fox. You know what you're getting from Domantas Sabonis. Keegan Murray is number three. And to your point, getting to that consistency is going to require him to get there.
And now is the time to do it.
It's right now. Yep. Right now. Not later. Big Ten basketball is tonight. D'Lo and KC will take you up till 4, then at 4 o'clock on ESPN 1320, 98.5 HD2. We will have some Big Ten basketball for you. It's also on your smart speaker in the Free Odyssey app. The Hoosiers, the Indiana Hoosiers, are headed to the NIT. Can't wait for that movie. Gene Hackman's going to be wonderful in it. The Badgers, the Wisconsin Badgers, that is, are currently a fifth seed in the big tournament. That'll be heard on ESPN 1320 as well. So we've got a little bit of madness in February.
Mm.
Indiana not going to the big dance. Wisconsin going to the big dance, but Indiana trying to knock Wisconsin down the bracket a little bit. And if you're going to do a bracket, start paying attention now. Even a little nugget that you get from checking out Indiana, Wisconsin could help you come bracket time. And then Thursday at 4 p.m. Coming up later this week, we'll have some NBA basketball for you. Miami at Denver. We are your home for NBA basketball, the play-ins, playoffs, and the finals. Speaking of basketball, I want to put a pin in it coming up because I keep seeing something happening on the internet that I would like to see stop post-haste. I'll tell you what it is next on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, dang right it is. I said the Kings rely too much on their offense. And then you said they rely too much on offensive players. And I think we're talking about two separate things.
We are. Like, I don't think that they have the defenders to rely on. I don't think that's how this team is built.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, hang on. That was a misinterpretation. It's bad communicating by me. I think they rely too much on their scheme when they're playing offense.
Oh, okay.
I get that you want it to be, because Steve Kerr does the same thing, and this is a point of frustration with Warriors fans with Steve Kerr. There are times where it's like, dude, get it to Steph Curry, pick and roll, and let him do that. And Steve Kerr's thing has always been like, no, because then guys get bored. Like, you're not getting everybody involved in the offense. You lose players. They lose focus. And it wears out Steph Curry, who's closer to 40 than 30. But with the Kings, I'm guessing, I don't know this for sure, but given that Mike Brown was recently with Golden State, I would assume that it's a little bit the same thing. They did it against the Clippers, where they needed a couple of buckets late, and it was Monk, Sabonis, pick and roll, bang, bucket each time. But then you go to last night, where they're down 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever it was late in that game, and it's Sabonis catching and then handing off, and it's like, bro, I would like to see Domantas Sabonis, one of their two best players, have a little bit more of a say here than just, oh, they're going to run the offense room and that's what it's going to be like. No, sometimes do the thing that's going to get you a bucket. And to me, that is De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, little two-man game, and you figure it out that way. Again, it's not that I want to see 48 minutes of that, but in key spots like they got last night, instead of relying on Kevin Huerter to shoot them back into the game, hey, let De'Aaron Fox or Domas go get a bucket off a pick and roll.
No, I'm with you. I would caution that, again, the Miami Heat ran a very specific zone to take away DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, Domantas Sabonis. I don't know why that.
Wow.
It pops in my head every once in a while. They do. Domantas Sabonis. They ran a zone to take him away. And I get it. Like, the fact that he took 8 shots in 40 minutes,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
I guess.
And you want to, like, force feed him, and you want him to be more of, like, get in there and fight to, but he turned the ball over four times.
The proper radio guy thing to say in my response to that would be like, I don't care. They're paying you $40 million. Go get a basket. Go score. I don't care.
So yeah. I love the hot take without any explanation and any way to answer your own question.
That was when I was doing radio in San Francisco. There was it was never real, but Warriors fans wanted it to be real, that the Giannis to Golden State thing was happening. Like, oh, we talked to Steph. But no, it was, here was the thing. Hey, they can't really do that. Like, it just doesn't work financially. And the response would be, I don't care. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's just, that's not how that goes.
Yeah, I don't think it's unique to the Bay Area. I think those things happen.
Yeah, that's just my experience. Well. Yeah. I don't care. Just go get a basket, Domas. Just go score. The thing I would like to see stop on the internet.
I want to hear it.
I blog about an NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
I am eyeballs deep in 49er stuff all the time. It is supposed to be a dead period right now, and I've got it. That is how it goes. So I understand training camp and OTAs and and preseason games and how silly a lot of the like preseason analysis is, but you got to do it anyways. I get it. I'm there. I'm with you. It's fine. The spring training live tweet is the least valuable of all the live tweets. It is. I don't know how this happened. I need to start unfollowing some folks. I have way too many Yankee beat writers in my timeline.
Oh,
I have like six Yankee beat writers. My buddy Gary covers the Yankees for, it used to be the Times, but whatever the Times is doing baseball wise now, that's what he does. And I love him to death. And he's down there in Pensacola or wherever in Florida they hold training camp. And he tweets, Anthony Volpe leads off with a walk. Or no, I'm sorry. Anthony Volpe gets spring started with a ground ball single up the middle.
Oh.
Like, okay, that's kind of first hit of spring. Like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Quote tweet, Volpe steals second base. Who's this helping? Who is this for? Give me some, there's no, what does this mean? It's a spring game, early spring game, mind you. And it does, and it wasn't just that. It is, every baseball writer I follow who is at spring training right now is giving me blow by blow of spring training games featuring players who may not even ever play in the major leagues.
Ever.
Oh. I see some discretion on what we're tweeting.
Okay.
That's all. That's all.
I'm with you. Especially if they get to the point where they're like, it's 2-2 count. Now it's 3-2.
Oh my God.
Foul tip.
Yeah. It's like
another foul tip.
If a particular prospect has a great at bat, yeah, he had a great at bat. Okay.
We're up to 7 foul tips.
Just.
It's become a tweet thread at this point.
I love baseball as much as the next guy, trust me.
Yeah.
And I'm even the weirdo that when it's on, like, ESPN or whatever, I'll just throw it on in the background. But I don't, man, the spring training live tweet just really got under my skin the other day. And I try and be courteous, right? During Niner preseason games, I know people don't care. I know nobody cares that a third string running back had a nice run. So I really try to, like, if I'm going to tweet something about the preseason, I really try to make sure it counts. Like really try to make sure, hey, Jordan Mason did this. He's fighting for a backup running back spot, and that's going to help. Great. Okay, fine. But Mason ahead for 4 yards doesn't help anyone.
No.
That's not helpful. Anyways, that's all.
I'm with you.
I'm guilty of bad tweets more than anybody.
Well, I mean,
maybe it's because I'm sensitive to baseball stuff right now. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. I do, you know, I live tweet Kings games.
Regular season Kings games.
But I usually start off with a tweet of who scores the first basket for the Kings.
Sure.
And then there's a couple of tweets every quarter, but then at the end of the quarter, the end of the half, end of the third, and then, you know, my tweets post game. Like, you're going to get some things thrown in there. If it's a crazy game and it's back and forth and I'm there and people aren't,
mm-hmm.
and they're either, you know, listening on the radio or watching on TV, like, and they're using me as an accompaniment.
Sure.
Then yeah, you're gonna see like what just happened, like because I can tweet.
That's what I wonder. Who do you tweet for?
I tweet for the people who are either like they're trying to keep up, trying to keep up with the game, and they're behind. They know they're behind.
I see.
Okay. Or you know they're at work or they're at home and they're like 12 second delay.
Right.
And they're sitting there. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I just kind of give my general thoughts now because I never know what, I figure anybody who's looking for 49ers live tweets is probably watching, but that's a good point. There's people on delay, there's people working, on flights or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't know.
I know
there's way better people than me to dig in live tweet a game. Because follow Matt Maiocco or Matt Barros.
Super quick at it. Yeah, we were sitting baseline before the game last night, Brendan and I, one of my partners from the Kings beat, and somebody came up right behind us, like put their hands on our shoulders and said that he lives in China and that he is late to work all the time because he's listening or he's staying up all night listening to the podcast. And
that's awesome.
Like people are like, boy, you look really tired today. He's like, Had to get my Kings podcast in.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. Worldwide. You too can subscribe to the Kings Beat, kingsbeat.com, and Kings Beat podcast, wherever you get your pods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did have some breaking news while we're here. 49ers. I mean, I don't know how major it is, but they have promoted Tariq Ahmad and RJ Gillen to a dual director of pro personnel. I don't know.
Huh. Okay, that makes sense.
They've both been promoted to replace Adam Peters.
Yes.
Ahmad came from the college scouting side and Gillen from the pro scouting side, but they're going to form a tandem. Same role.
Okay.
I think that's a really good way to grow your team and to grow your management team.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Niners are a group that are going to get picked apart every summer and lose guys.
Yeah.
So if you have two guys that are getting promoted, not only do they're going to work together, and mm-hmm. if you lose one, you might be okay, but they're also going to learn from each other. So mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, they were both names that immediately came up from people who know people in the front office. They were two names that immediately came up when Peters left, so it makes sense that they both get promoted to that spot. Speaking of promotions with the 49ers, we had some news on their defensive coordinator search, and then John Lynch said something at the Combine today that really brings something home about that search. We'll have that, and we've got some more King stuff we got to dive into as well after their loss last night to the Heat. Tons to get into in the final segment of The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kind of a weird time of year to talk football, but we had some news yesterday in 49er land. And John Lynch kind of drove that news home today.
Yeah.
Matt Maiocca reported in NBC Sports Bay Area yesterday that the 49ers had interviewed two defensive coordinator candidates with plans to interview a third later this week. They're hoping to have all those interviews wrapped up by the end of this week, which means we probably have a defensive coordinator announcement coming sooner rather than later. So they interviewed Brandon Staley, the former Chargers head coach, and then they interviewed Nick Sorensen, who was their defensive passing game specialist. He was in his second year with the 49ers, but he had spent some time in other places, I think Jacksonville, and he came up in Seattle under Pete Carroll,
okay,
which is kind of the big deal there. They're also going to interview Daniel Bullocks, their safeties coach, who's been with them since 2017, former NFL safety. He's been coaching for a long time. I think he's been in the NFL like as a player and coach for like 17 years. Mm. He's been around and he knows the defense. He knows what the Niners want to do. So John Lynch today said at his press conference at the Combine, quote, "We like who we are and what we do as a defense, and I know we don't want a wholesale departure from that." That to me means Brandon Staley's out.
Okay.
He is a Vic Fangio guy. That's a 3-4. I don't think the Niners are going to do any crazy things schematically. And they just got rid of Steve Wilks, a successful defensive coordinator, because there were some schematic issues that they didn't think were going to be resolved. I can't imagine that they're going to want to bring in a guy like Brandon Staley, who has always run a completely different version of defense than the 49ers want to run, and go like, yeah, hey, just adapt. Like, I don't think that's a mistake you want to make 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and I mean, Staley's coming off of a horrific run as a head coach.
Ooh, really bad.
And I know, like, as a defensive coordinator, though, he's been really good in the past, right?
Yeah, at least when he has prime Aaron Donald and prime Jalen Ramsey, for sure.
Okay. Well, that helps. That helps, right?
Yeah. But the Niners have a talented group, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think the problem with him is that there is a stink about his performance as a head coach in with the Chargers. And if I'm the 49ers, I'm not looking for another scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for someone who gets it right this time. And you kind of wish that, you know, one of the guys that they've had there in that position before has been so successful that you can find another guy just like that. That's what you should be searching for, like the next D'Amico Ryans, the next yep. Robert Saleh.
Yep.
And hopefully you can find that, because those guys, it feels like they're running what you want them to run, but they're also big time leader of men.
Yes.
And as a defensive head, you know, defensive coordinator, that's kind of what you want.
Yeah. So we'll see if that hire comes down at some point this week. My guess is it does. I do think it's kind of interesting that Staley was the only external candidate they interviewed.
Are they done?
It sounds like it.
Wow.
Maiocca talked to Shanahan directly.
Yeah.
And Shanahan said, we've completed these two interviews and we've got this one coming up. We're going to finish up interviews this week. So if there was some other name out there, I would imagine it would have been said yesterday.
Yeah.
Unless they're trying to like sneak Pete Carroll in for a year or whatever, but I just can't imagine that Pete Carroll or Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel are going to want to come be the 49ers defensive coordinator.
That would be wild.
That just doesn't seem like a thing they'd want to do.
It, you know, the pocketbook, that's where it's going to count. Like, do they need the money? And chances are at least two of those guys have no need for money. I don't know about the other.
And they're going to get head coaching jobs next year.
Yeah.
So I think Pete Carroll's a consultant with Seattle. Bill Belichick can take a year off, help his kid be the defensive coordinator. I think he's the defensive coordinator in Washington. Steve Belichick. I think he's the coordinator at UW. And then Mike Vrabel can vibe out. I think he's got a couple of kids, hang out with his family for a year.
Isn't there like four coaches' sons that are on that staff with Belichick?
Yes. Yeah. I forget who they all are, but yeah, there's a lot of...
I do too.
It's like the Nepo staff.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Nepo baby staff.
I thought that the Kings' answers for last night were... I don't know, not encouraging, but I respect that Fox just came out and was like, yeah, we got beat.
They played better than us.
Yeah, like that's like that. Thank you. At least like step one is recognizing it, right?
Yeah.
And I respect that so much more, because sometimes that just happens in sports. Sometimes we get on the radio, we have to fill a couple hours every day. So sometimes there's like a larger conversation that is to be had. But realistically in sports, like some days, like if you've ever gone out and shot baskets, you just gone out and played basketball just by yourself, some days your shot goes in, sometimes it doesn't. Like, that's just sometimes you lose, sometimes you don't. But the fact that Fox can go up there and he didn't just go, well, it's just another L. Like, yeah, it doesn't really matter. He can go, yeah, they just beat us.
It's just 182.
Yeah. They were better than us tonight. It's like, well, good. Like, at least, okay, that's that recognition to me is a positive.
Well, that, and I think that that's part of the reason why I walk away from that game kind of feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to, okay, so if you go up against a shorthanded team and it looks the entire game like you didn't take things serious and you're losing the game, not that they're going to beat you, but that you're losing the game,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. I didn't walk out of that game feeling that way. I felt like the Kings played like a team on the second night of a back-to-back. They had a moment in the third quarter where you could see them all of a sudden they're moving in mud and they're turning the ball over. And I was sitting next to Matt George and I said, if they turn the ball over like three or four times in the first 5 minutes, they're shot. And sure enough, that's what happened. They started turning the ball over in the early third quarter, and that's when you could see that they were running out of gas. Now, you could say, there's no excuse. Well, there is an excuse. There's a reason. It's not an excuse. You played the night before in LA, very emotional game. You beat a team that's been like a thorn in your side. You get into this game, and sure, they're lacking a bunch of players, but they came out physical and punched and punched and punched. This was not a, you walked in, you didn't take someone serious, and you got beat.
But I think that's the problem, though, is you say the Heat came out and they punched and punched and punched. Well, the Kings being on a back-to-back, that's not the reason they didn't punch back. We've seen them not do that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
That's why I can't get to, we saw them go in on a back-to-back in Denver and win in Denver. Like, it's there. They just didn't do it last night.
Yeah. I just think that, like, every game is different. Every game has a life of its own.
Yeah.
And I also will tell you that Denver didn't come out and punch and punch and punch.
Sure.
Miami did. So you played a different team, and I get that they have the MVP and, you know, or a two-time MVP and, you know, a guy who's pacing to potentially win another.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the Miami Heat just came out and played a different style of basketball. And they beat you. They played better than you. And I had some appreciation for the way that they handled it. And when it came up, well, you guys this season have had this tendency to lose against teams. Like, there wasn't a hyper-focus on that. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to disrespect the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat came in here with a game plan. They fought. We made a run. We almost caught them.
Mm-hmm. The entire Heat ethos last year on their run to the finals, by the way.
Yeah.
Was look at all the undrafted dudes. Look at all these guys nobody's ever heard of. Like, that's what they do. Like, I probably underestimated them yesterday.
They're a team of self-made men.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Like, in the NBA, there are guys that figure it out. Like, hey, I was in the locker room last night, pregame.
Nice,
and
dude.
Mason Jones is sitting there. And
was he just fired up?
Well, yeah, maybe, but Jason Anderson clearly is writing a story about Mason Jones, and Sean Cunningham wanted to get some footage of Mason Jones. I, on the other hand, like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but, like, there's very little time where I'm going to write about somebody who hasn't played a minute for the Sacramento Kings.
Right, that's not your angle.
That's not my angle. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, this is fine. But I wanted to go over because I don't know Mason. And I'm like, I'll go over and I'll listen. And I had my mic out, my phone, and I was recording audio, but I didn't record video because it wasn't me asking questions. And I don't like to do that.
Sure.
So I was sitting there and I'm listening. And Mason Jones says, like, look, I think, you know, this time around I'm different. I got too full of myself. You know, I started to have some success and I started to believe in that success too much and I started to become a bad teammate. And he's like, I don't think I did anything like blatantly wrong, but I also didn't do things right. He's like, so I get bounced from the league. I go to Europe and I think he was playing in Turkey. And he's like, I learned very quickly what it is to be a good teammate again.
Hmm.
And it reset me. And when I decided to come back, it was going to be like back to the States, go back to the G League pool, mm-hmm. and try to work my way back into the league. It was with this new understanding that I was not going to be that guy. I'm going to be a guy who's cheering on my teammates. I'm going to be the best teammate possible, because I got away from that, and that was a huge mistake. And that's where I kind of get to the Heat. The Heat does this all the time, where they find these guys that they're flamed out in college or flamed out like in a first try in the NBA, mm-hmm. and they bring them into their system and they nurture them and they figure out what it is that went wrong the first time and how do you get them better the second time around? How do you give them an opportunity that they can embrace and succeed in? And it's so rare in the league because there are so many teams that don't understand it. We're going to watch. Well, you can look at the Detroit Pistons right now. Just write all their names down of every player that's in the top 10 pick. How many of those guys are going to flame out completely in the NBA? And it's because they don't have the system in place to support a young player like that. Yeah. And Miami just finds a way. They go out, they find these guys, they put them in a situation to succeed. They tell them, this is how you get on the court and this is how you stay on the court. And it's brilliant. The Kings need to figure that out. Other teams need to figure out. It's really tough to figure out, though, when your head coach is in his second full season running the team. Mm-hmm. That's typically not when you have a system in place. And even Mike Brown was asked about, the Heat culture. Like, how do you develop the Heat culture? It's like, well, you can't. We're not the Heat. Mm-hmm. I've got to create my own culture here. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what were the Kings. That's why staying with a coach, staying the course. Like,
yes,
that's why I keep saying, like, this offseason is really important. This final stretch here is really important for the development of everybody. Like, you got to have 100% buy-in every single season.
Yep.
And that is exactly what we see from the Miami Heat. Every season is a new group of 15 guys 100% bought in.
The Heat, just to drive your point home here, the Heat had more players play last night who were undrafted than drafted. Mm. They played 9 guys last night, 5 of them undrafted. Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson, Haywood Highsmith, Cole Swider, and Alondis Williams.
Yeah.
All undrafted. Kevin Love, 5th pick, but he's 35 now.
Yep, 35.
Jaime Jaquez, 18th. Bam Adebayo, 14th. DeLon Wright, 20th. That was their team last night.
Yeah.
And man, that's, this is not saying, and I know you're not saying this, and this is that the Kings need to go find 5 undrafted guys who can contribute this year or next year. Like, that's not, or I guess this offseason, contribute for next year. That's not what this is. But the goal would certainly be to build out a culture and a team and an environment where a guy like Kessler Edwards maybe comes in and has more of a regular role and regular success right away. Like, that's not, like I said, the Kings are not there yet because Mike Brown's in his second year with the team. But that's definitely, I think, when you talk about what is this team supposed to look like or what's a good strategy of putting a team together moving forward, the Heat have unlocked something. And I don't know if any team will ever be that good at it. Having 2 guys in your starting lineup who are undrafted and playing well is hard to do at all. But if you can find 1 guy like that and then 1 late first round pick who can contribute, that changes a lot.
No, I totally agree. And I would point to not Kessler Edwards, who was drafted in the second round, but I'd point to Keon Ellis.
Oh.
Like, Keon Ellis plays in a different way than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, good when point. Keon Ellis is on the court, you feel that he's giving everything he has because he is very much under the understanding that if he doesn't, he's not going to be in the league much longer. And there's something about players like that who work their way into the league, who fight their way into the league. Mm-hmm. You know, I always, Garrett Temple is a guy that always came to mind who, you know, played in Europe, played all over the place. PJ Tucker played in Italy. You know, these guys that have a new appreciation for what it is to be in the league. And you talk about, they have, what, 2 guys that are, do they even have a lottery pick that's starting?
Who's that?
Like the Heat. I don't think they did have a lottery pick, right?
That, Hawkes is
18th pick?
No, that's, excuse me, Bam. 14.
14. Okay. So he's the last pick of the lottery.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, De'Aaron Fox, 5th pick.
Yep.
Keegan Murray, 4th pick. Harrison Barnes, 7th pick or 8th pick. Domantas Sabonis.
Barnes is 7.
10. Malik Monk, 13. Kevin Herter's what, 16?
Domas, 11. Just
11. There. 11. Yeah,
but
yep.
Still in that range.
Yeah. So, and that's just like most teams are built that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're built around star level players, guys who are high draft picks. That's just not the personality of the Miami Heat. So,
somebody, and you mentioned this at one of the breaks, the handoff with D'Lo coming up shortly. Scout Recycler in the chatty houses. Inconsistency comes from a lack of accountability. What's the accountability? What are we looking for?
Yeah, just we can't just yell accountability and act like it's like
accountability.
That's what I. That is exactly what I did. Yeah. I was
declaring
yelling
accountability.
Yes.
I declare
accountability. Yes. Thank you, Damian. That is exactly what I did during the break. Look, you can't just, I don't think that this team has a huge lack of accountability or there's an accountability issue. I just don't think that they have a, what is it? Like that they don't know who they are.
No, it's just a lack of tenacity and dog. We talked about this earlier. Like that's kind of what it comes down to me.
Yeah, but
the handoff. This D'Lo from D'Lo and Casey.
Last season, this team had a clear identity, and I don't see an identity. We're 50 something games in, and you can say, well, they might not ever. I don't think they will. They don't have an identity to base. Where I know exactly what the Miami Heat. I don't care who's playing. I know what their identity is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the Kings' identity is yet.
They have the Miami Heat have. People and a culture, and whether it's coaches or players or whatever, where if you aren't playing hard or if you're half-assing something, there are players who are going to get on you and being like, that's not the way we do it. This is the way we do it. The Kings just don't have that player. You want accountability from who?
Yeah.
From who?
Yeah, I don't know that it's fair to start comparing the Sacramento Kings and the Miami Heat, though.
No, it's not. Right.
Like, why don't the Sacramento Kings have the type of culture that the Miami
That's not
Heat
what
have?
I'm saying. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying.
So what what you're saying is the lack of, like, identity creates issues like what we saw last night.
I don't even know if it's last night.
Or that we've seen through
throughout this season. Yeah, the Detroit loss, the Charlotte loss.
And last night's not a Detroit-Charlotte.
No, last night they just got...
It's not either.
No.
It's not. No.
No, they just got beat.
But I still don't know that they have...
It feels like it's a game they should have won. Like,
yes.
Regardless
definitely.
Of
yes.
how tough
definitely.
Miami is, how great Eric Spoelstra is, when you're missing 7 guys, 5 rotational players, 2 starters, you've got to find a way to win that game. Like, you were up double digits on them early. You put them away. And they couldn't. And I get the frustration with that. But to your point, James, this is who the Kings have been this season. And that's why we talk about the difficulties of what these next, 26 games are going to look like. Because this is what it's like. We're going to have the extreme highs of the Clippers. Like, people calling yesterday talking about winning the conference. And why can't they do, why not this and why not that? To now all of a sudden the team is a fraud because they couldn't beat the Miami Heat. Like, it's going to be extremely high and extremely low the rest of the season because they don't have an identity. And they're just kind of stuck in this weird, like, purgatory where I just want them to make the playoffs. And I just want them to make the playoffs just for, like, the psychological standpoint and that stupid-ass draft pick. Just get that done with.
Yes.
And then this offseason, Monty McNair has a lot of work to do, but they've got to get to the playoffs.
Here's kind of my point.
Even if you have to win a play-in game.
Hey, I don't want to do the shows this summer if they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm quitting if they don't make the playoffs.
No, you're not. Your resignation is declined.
Okay, so here's my point. My point is this. When the chips are down and you're missing players and everything is falling apart and you got suspended players and injured players and everything else, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw last night is when that is the case for the Miami Heat, this is who they are. This is it. They are gritty. They're going to punch you in the face. Win or lose, they're going to win or lose the same exact way. It's just whether or not they got beat. With the Sacramento Kings, I'm still wondering, who are you? When everything goes wrong, who are you?
Let me ask you something, since we don't get to talk to you today. Do you think the Kings played bad yesterday?
I don't.
That's the killer to me. They really didn't play bad.
No.
That stretch in the third quarter was...
It just happened.
Incredible.
Yes.
Just incredible. It was just... And I know De'Aaron's press conferences get a lot of eye rolls from Kings fans, but I think, I don't remember who asked him, James, about, you know, the third and the fourth quarter, but he was like, the third quarter, we couldn't hit any, like we were trying, we couldn't hit a shot.
No,
like,
it happens
nothing
sometimes.
Nothing dropped. Then the fourth quarter, Keegan hits back-to-back threes, and all of a sudden, it feels like the Kings are playing incredible when the only difference is Keegan's shots dropped.
He said it. It was Herter, Keegan. And Fox said that exact. The only difference is that we hit three threes in a row and we had 9 points in a row, a 9-0 run. Boom. Yeah.
I feel like they generated some turnovers in the fourth quarter as well during that run.
So that was, you know, Kenny and I do this all of the time. Like, did you feel like the Kings were going to win? It felt like the 20-10 when they were down 20 and that rush where the crowd just went nuts. Yeah. To get to 10, that felt like, oh my God. Everything else kind of felt like the flow of the game. So once they came out of that timeout, I was like, it doesn't feel like they have it. It's like they have to score on every possession.
Yes.
They literally had to be perfect the final 12 minutes to win that game. And they were perfect for about six. And then it got into a game where they just didn't.
The takeaway for me last night is not the micro of last night's game, the 48 minutes of last night's game. It is zooming out and watching the way the Heat just approach it, not asking the Kings to have the Heat culture or the Heat's legacy or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for that. That would be insane. But it was the way the Heat approached last night's game. And I keep coming back to dog because that's the only kind of adjective I have for it. But like they came out and they were just like, nope, we are pulling you down in the mud and we're going to figure out a way to win this game. We're going to grit. We're going to grind. That's a Grizzlies thing, I guess. But we're just going to muck it up and we're going to start swinging. Our backs may be against the wall. We may be shorthanded, but we're going to swing no matter what. I don't think the Kings have that same attitude. And watching the Heat come out with that kind of force in last night's game, it's like, oh, that's what the Kings are missing. They just don't have dudes who will go do that.
I get you. I'm going to say this.
That's what popped out to me.
In the final seconds of that game, though,
don't laugh at me.
The thing that was different to me was that they were so ingrained that we fight. They gave it all back, right? They had this huge lead. They gave it all back. But it's like, who are we? And that's when you get these incredible backbreaking shots. The Bam Adebayo shot and Jaime Jaquez had the same thing. Like these incredible backbreaking shots. That's where the culture comes in. That we are going to will ourselves. Whatever it takes, we're going to will ourselves. And the Kings just don't have that switch yet. And
I agree.
Like they don't have that to fall back on, the culture to fall back on.
I agree. I think there's something about a team that's facing adversity. We'll talk about like Miami's won four in a row also. Like they're playing good ball.
They're equal in the standings. Yeah. It doesn't matter who's playing. They're equal in the standings
right.
to the Kings.
And like, hey, we got into this scuffle. You know, we're down, guys. We've got to be hyper-focused for this game. I think there's a certain PED element to that, like a performance-enhancing drug to that. Like, hey, we have to lift ourselves up for this one game.
Yep.
Right? We see it sometimes like when De'Aaron is out. And it doesn't happen a lot, thankfully, because those guys don't miss a ton of time. De'Aaron is out. Domas never misses games, but we always try to... Where does the playmaking come from? Where does this come from? And you see the Kings execute in a way that they don't when everyone's available. There's just something to that. It's like when one of us are out, right? The other person's got to step up. Jesse's got to step up. Kyle's got to step up. Whatever it may be, it's just kind of this, hey, guys, we got to do this for one day. This is what we have to
do. And those moments make us all better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where maybe not missing games isn't the easiest thing.
Mm.
Maybe not having to rely on someone else to do something hurts his team. Yeah.
It's because it's all dogs in here.
We are all dogs.
Exactly.
We are dogs.
All right. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. They're hanging with you till 4 on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.